Good morning and welcome to episode 28 of the Going Deeper podcast. My name is JD and I'll be your host today. As we actually sit down and talk about the lesson that we had on Sunday that I had the pleasure to teach on the Incredibles 2 movie and the resulting discussion coming out of that film about the importance of service and being of use to the kingdom of God through the gifts and the abilities and the talents that we have been given. This morning, we have Jeff with us today.
Good morning.
And Mary Jean.
Good morning.
And today we have a special treat for you. My brother, an actual movie actor, is in from New York City today. This is Reed Lyle.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you, man. How you doing?
Good.
We start with you, just for fun, as an actual movie actor. Tell us just a little bit about some of your experiences working in New York about recording and filming and all that kind of stuff. Just tell us a little bit about what that's like.
It's an exciting process. It's a lot of hard work. So I've had the experience in short film and independent films, mm-hmm. Also in theater. In the city, but yeah, filming is an exciting process. We have just a lot of fun with it, just go for it, you know.
What would you say is the most difficult part of the filming process?
Just staying in it. It's a lot of downtime. Is probably what you would not know from the outside. Just the amount of time you don't spend working, say as an actor. So you spend so much time off camera. Right.
Gotcha.
And then the amount of time you spend waiting, say setting up for the next shot. So it's what you do with that time. You're not working, staying focused and just, still trying to do what you can to, be prepared for the next shot or the next setup. So you want to stay prepared and stay ready, basically, but there is a lot of downtime. Mm-hmm. So like I said, you want to, stay ready mentally. That time can, it can make or break, you know, your performance as an actor. But the whole team also, it's a team, it's a collaborative effort, but yeah, those, you know, you can see it throughout the cast and crew where those, you know, those long days and nights, kind of, you know, they get to people in different ways, but yeah, it's just all how you use those, you know, those moments throughout the day, throughout the shoot.
Now we have we've been starting with just some fun questions, some movie related questions. So today we're gonna jump in with a question. Actually, Mary Jean, you're gonna get two because you had to skip out on us last week after the unrecorded podcast. So tell us about your favorite God on film movie so far.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Yes, and the reason I liked it was just it. Just went into all different parts of our thought process. And I just felt like I was just explained thinking, you know, and as a school teacher, I wanted to say, yes, that's that child. And that's that child. You know, I get it now.
Yeah. That was a brilliant, brilliantly written psychological film,
yes.
from the standpoint of the way they portrayed the understanding of the way the human mind works was fascinating. They had some high level consultants assisting them on that film.
Absolutely,
I'm certain of it. So this morning for everybody, let's just ask the question: who's your favorite movie actor? Who's your favorite movie actor? What actors or actresses really grab your attention, Dad?
Well,
It's hard for me to think of an actor without thinking of a particular film or a scene in a film. Like I think of Dennis Quaid in Wyatt Earp when he played Doc Holliday, or Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. There's certain roles that just seem to fit actors. Mel Gibson in The Patriot or Braveheart. Mm-hmm. Any one of those, I think, just have done an outstanding job portraying a particular character at a particular moment in their life, and they just seem to they are that person. You know, you just sense that.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jean.
Mine probably so many different ones, but the actor that sticks out to me is probably one of my favorite films, What Lies Beneath, and it's Harrison Ford. Fugitive is one of my other favorite films. So, and wow. I think I like What Lies Beneath because it's that he has that dark side to him, and he's not the good guy. You know, he's not the hero in that by any means. And I sort of like films that have that dark side to them too. So
I watched that in college on a date with a girl, and I was the one that was like running away from the film. Scared me to death.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle that one. I was by far the wimp in the room watching that.
It's pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm like, don't go in. No. Oh, yeah. It was terrible. I don't like scary movies. It's not for me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's funny, though. All right, Reed?
You know, I was trying to think of your question. Well, that's the thing. I was trying to think of your question as... From a spectator and now as a participant, and I really, it's hard to separate because I'm so influenced by actors and yeah, I mean, if I had to name one, I would have to say Brando because he's influenced now generations and yeah, I mean, Pacino's another one. So, I mean, when I'm asked that question, it's a whole list, you know, generation by generation. But, yeah, if I had to say one, it would be Brando.
As I was thinking about that question, my two favorite movies ever are Braveheart and The Passion of the Christ, both of which heavily influenced as far as by Mel Gibson. So I would have to say he's one of my favorites. From the standpoint of he's been deeply involved in both of my favorite movies, one as an actor, one as a director, although his hands did show up in the beating of the nails into Jesus, so that I guess he had a small cameo role in The Passion, but that film in particular is stunning and challenging in lots of ways, but I always appreciated Mel Gibson films, so he would probably be my favorite if I had to pick. Now this past Sunday we discussed the movie The Incredibles 2, which was a film that really centered around there are loads of themes in that movie, but what we pulled out of it for Sunday's purposes was a discussion about service. And how each and every one of us is called and gifted and shaped by God to serve both God and others, to make a difference in the lives of the people around us and the world around us. And we talked at length specifically about a couple of different things, but number one, we really honed in on the idea that each one of us has been given a certain shape, a certain set of gifts, a certain set of abilities, a certain style of working in the world by God, and that it is a gift from God, and that we should use it to the very best of our ability. And so having that service heart is critical. And that was one of the things we were talking about before we got rolling this morning, is why having a service heart, a service-based heart, is so critical. Dad, why don't you jump in and kind of give us a sense of why you feel like that's so important?
Well, I feel like the heart drives everything. Mm. It drives why you serve. It drives how you serve, because it begins with the why question, is why am I doing this? And if I'm doing this because because I'm in love with Christ, and I want to serve him, and I want to serve people because of what he's done for us and the good news of God's love, then that impacts how I serve. I mean, that enables me to stay up late or to get up early or to go the extra mile, whatever, in serving, because you're driven in a sense by that heart for Christ and for people. Mm. And so I think that's a huge starting point, because if we're motivated by anything else, if we're motivated by I want to look good for people or I want people to like me, if we're serving because we're people pleasers and we just can't say no, those motivations always fall short. Mm-hmm. And at some point you'll get hurt by that, or you'll hurt others because you're not serving with the right heart. And so I think that's a huge starting point. It's extremely important, and I think we all struggle with that at times. We all have to ask ourselves that question: why am I really doing this, and what's driving me to do this?
Yeah. So right before we started rolling this morning, we were in that discussion about having a heart of service that's critical, and we just kind of threw out two words that were two phrases, I guess I should say, that were really interesting to me. One was empty serving, and the other was easy serving. Empty serving and easy serving. And it just kind of popped out, and I wrote it down really quick because it jumped out at me. The idea of, we'll deal with the one first, empty serving, kind of serving with that wrong motivation. What jumps out at you guys when you hear that phrase, that idea of empty serving?
I think one of the things you said Sunday, it was when you were discussing stewardship, and you were saying that you have to go into serving knowing that your gift is not really yours. It's God's gift. Mm-hmm. And going in with that attitude. And if you go in with that attitude, then it can't be empty serving. Mm-hmm. Because it's really, you know, it's not yours. It's a gift that God gave you. And sometimes I think we let ourselves and our ego get in the way there. And we're not looking at it as, you know, this is something God gave me, and it's really not mine. It's just something I'm using.
Yeah, I thought the one scripture you used was really important because it had the word steward in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we always view ourselves in that framework or with that mindset that I am a steward of the gifts I've been given, they're not mine. I don't own them. I didn't give them to myself. I didn't get a pick from a list even. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit decides what gift you get. Mm-hmm. And so you don't really have power over that. You don't have control of it. So you're simply a steward of it. You get to manage the gift that God has graced you with. So do that very well. I think that's the point.
What do you think makes empty serving a temptation for? I don't know if that's the right way to put that. But what leads us into empty serving?
Sometimes it's just the idea of, you know, you should, so you just do it. You don't really get down to why you should do it. Mm-hmm. It's just something everybody's doing. You know, you should do it. It's the right thing to do, but you don't really look at your heart and look at the reason behind it.
Maybe it's a sense of guilt.
Yeah,
you heard the "we need your seat" speech one too many times, and you finally decide, okay, I'm just going to say it so I don't feel guilty when I go to Good News. Mm-hmm. Not a good reason to serve. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes don't you find that person that starts sometimes with guilt develops into?
Exactly.
So, I mean, sometimes it does work, but you should really look at your heart too. But sometimes it does work the other way.
Yeah, I think sometimes people get in there and then they begin to realize what an impact they can actually have. They can be players in the game, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They don't have to sit on the bench and watch everybody else do stuff. And I think there's that's part of it. I also think there's, when you begin to serve with a team of people and there's that camaraderie that develops and you find a lot of joy in seeing those people. You know, every Sunday morning when I come in here, and I usually roll in between 7 and 7:30, those guys that work in the parking lot are already here. Mm-hmm. And they're out there, and every Sunday morning they help me carry my stuff into the building. They greet me at the door with a big hug and a smile. We talk for a minute or two. They're having fun, mm-hmm. and it's a joy for them. And they make it fun. I mean, how many times have we driven in here and found pink flamingos all over the driveway, and they're in Hawaiian shirts and stuff, and they're just having a good time with it. Mm-hmm. And I think when we get into serving and we see the kind of impact we have and we develop those relationships, then it can go from guilt to a passion.
One of the things we talked about before was the idea of how we can make a hierarchy out of spiritual gifts. Or we can see one set of gifts or abilities as more important or more valuable, and it can lead us to demean the way that God has gifted us to serve. And when you think about that, it limits our ability to give the fullest amount of passion to what we're doing because we're so focused on what we're not doing. How do you guys, have you guys ever experienced that? Have you guys ever bumped up against a situation where you either saw somebody else doing that or you saw yourself doing that?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think it's something, again, it's a matter of perspective. It's putting our focus on the wrong thing. It's not where we're, where God is in the right place. It's not something that God does. Mm. Yeah. You know, that's not a thing where God has a hierarchy. He gives us the gifts, and gifts are not, in a place where God is, this gift is more important than this gift.
Sure.
You know, so there's not, God doesn't have the hierarchy. That's mm-hmm. something that we've done with it, yeah. And we say, the pastor is more important than the guy in the parking lot, that's wrong. That's mm-hmm. not, mm-hmm. that's not the case at all. So that's something that we've done. I think that's something that we're, and we can, that's maybe something I do and have experienced with myself, but I think that, it's when we get focused on the wrong thing, ourselves, most importantly, maybe.
I had a situation years ago. This happened way back early in Good News history. We were at Southern State, and we had an individual that went through the class series, and when he got to 301, he really wanted to be a teacher, and he had pushed me about being permitted to teach, and so when he went through 301, it ended up that teaching was like at the bottom of the whole gift survey that we did, and even though it was, he really wanted to teach, so I gave him an opportunity, not in the auditorium but in another venue, and it just didn't go well. The survey was obviously correct. He just didn't, that was not a gift that he had. So we tried some different things. But I ended up asking him to become one of the greeters because this guy was an extrovert. He had a tremendous, he was one of those people that just never met a stranger. Mm. And so I suggested the possibility of him becoming a greeter. And I'll never forget it because his response to me was, "That's not important enough." Mm. And I thought, "Oh, you don't get it. You do not get it." Mm. And I also thought to myself, "You won't be here long," and he wasn't.
But from the outside looking in, that's human nature to do. I mean, just in the movie, do you want to be Mr. Incredible or do you want to be Frozone? You know, you want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's human nature. That's where we are. And that's something that we all, I mean, everyone, if they're truly honest with themselves, that's something everyone deals with.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Mary Jean, you brought up the idea of so we've been talking about empty serving, and you know, we want to be careful because God doesn't waste when we serve. However, we can serve in such a way that it becomes empty for us, right? We can serve with a joyless, you know, drudgery because, well, I'm not getting to do this, I'm not getting to do that. So that's kind of that idea of empty serving where we're focused more on, okay, yeah, I'm doing it because I have to, or I'm doing this, but I'd rather be doing that kind of thing. But you brought up the idea of easy serving, where we're not... where we serve in such a way that we never really fully stretch ourselves. Talk about that a little bit, because I thought that was really impactful.
Well, I think it's the idea. I mean, the perfect thing is me doing this. This is not easy serving for me. This is something that when I'm doing, it is totally in God's hands because it's something that's out of my comfort zone, something that I've never done before.
Yeah.
So... this is not easy serving for me. Easy serving is those things that you don't have to rely on God. You can just rely on yourself. And it's so important for us to stretch ourselves so that we do have to depend on God. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing this has been so good for me because I have spent more time in prayer, more time, you know, reading and studying because, you know, I can't do this without God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how it is. It's very much a stretch. And I think sometimes we get into those comfort zones of easy serving and we're really cheating ourselves. We're cheating ourselves of getting in a closer relationship with God and depending more on Him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of goes back to that idea that we talked about on Sunday of developing the gifts you've been given.
Mm-hmm. So let's, if you don't mind, Mary Jean, let's explore that just a little bit because...
I hate when you say that.
I would be very interested to know how you got to yes. When we asked you to join the podcast, I think you asked, as I recall, you asked for some time to think and to pray about that.
Yes.
How did you get to yes? Because we have a lot of people, I think, sitting in our seats on the typical Sunday morning who are at that point where the question really is not, do I have a gift? I mean, we talk about that too much at Good News. Mm-hmm. The question is, how do I get to yes? How did you get to yes when it comes to the podcast?
I think I prayed a lot. And before you had asked me, I had been praying to find my spot because I just felt like where I was serving, I mean, I loved it. I was, you know, had done it for several years, but I just felt like I needed to be stretched more, you know. And I talked that over with my husband. You know, I'd been praying about it, and not for just a few months, but maybe even a year or so that I'd been praying for that. And then when you asked me, I was like, okay, you know. So again, I started praying. I started reading, talking with Randy. And then it finally came down to, okay, I've got to decide here. I've got to decide what to do. And all the things were telling me, yes, this is your change. This is what you're supposed to do. And I wasn't seeing it. It took my husband saying, Mary Jean, this is what you've been doing. This is what you've been praying for. This is everything you have told me that you've been reading has led you to this. You know, just say yes. Just stop and say yes, you know. And I think it took him finally saying, just stop and say yes, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that I could not do it unless I depended on God to do it.
Okay, good.
So where we're going here, and just to kind of sum up for a second, guys, is that if you're listening to us today, we want you to understand that idea that your heart in the process of serving is really critical. That it's possible for us to serve with either the wrong motivation or to never truly develop the gifts and skills that God has given us to serve, and that we want to avoid both of those realities. Now, there were a couple things that we didn't we didn't get to touch on at great length in the lesson, because obviously you have to make choices, and with the time that you have to speak on Sunday mornings, and one of the things, so we focused really heavily in on Mr. Incredible and his pursuit of being a dad in the process of that, but there were a couple of other major themes that I felt like really played a huge role in that movie. And one of them was that they served as a family, that each of the Incredibles had a particular gift or ability that they used. And throughout the film, in various situations, they employed that gift together to try to take down the bad guys, right? And to serve together as a family. Each person was a necessary and important part. As we think about the church, that idea just gets magnified. The importance of every single individual to the process of serving. As I say that, what jumps out at you guys, and what do you have to say to our listeners about that idea that much like the Incredibles, each one of us has something that we need to offer, and it's better and stronger when we're together.
Well, I think the family element was really a cool aspect of that movie, and when you think about the church should be a family as well. I mean, that's one of the word pictures that the Bible uses to describe the church. And the idea that we all have different gifts. None of us has all of the gifts, so we all need each other. Mm-hmm. And when everybody brings their gifts to the table, we're stronger together and more effective and more capable of having an impact for Christ. And I think, you know, I think when we pull together, our impact grows exponentially. I remember years ago reading a story about these draft horses, that they will have competitions where they hook these things up to weight and they pull these weights. And the interesting thing is when a draft horse would pull this weight alone, I think the most any draft horse ever was able to pull was like 9,000 pounds or something like that. I mean, an incredible amount of weight that these horses could pull. But when they teamed two horses together, they didn't double their ability. It was like 27,000 pounds or something that they could pull. I mean, it tripled their ability, or the amount of weight that they could pull when they teamed them together. And I think the same is true of us. When we team up with other Christians and they bring their gifts to the table, our impact grows exponentially.
And even when we're teaming up with someone who has the same gift, it, like you were talking about the greeters, they have so much fun because they're teaming up with their gifts, you know, and they're making it fun. They're impacting each other and others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the cool things about this particular film, we spent a lot of time at the end of the lesson talking about Mr. Incredible, really throughout the majority of the film, having to focus his energies on the next generation of superheroes, right? His kids, and having to set aside the use of his own gifts to some degree, his own superpowers, right? He wasn't the one out there fighting the bad guys. He wasn't the one out there using the superhuman strength. He wasn't the one out there getting to be the guy in the public eye, so to speak. But he was home and he was helping his kids utilize and develop their gift to grow and to serve and to learn and to in the case of Jack-Jack, the wild polymorph baby, right? To get some level of control over those wild gifts that he had. But at the end of the film, what's fascinating is that all of the other superhero characters beside the kids end up under the control of the screenslaver. And the kids are the ones that actually have to swoop in and save the day. And so to some degree or another, I think that presents us with a very important picture that in the church, especially when we begin to think of the next generation, we can't allow the next generation to not be a focus for this church, because there will come a day when their service is the service that takes this church forward. Their service is the one that will have to meet the challenges of tomorrow. And if we don't prepare them today, you know, much like Mr. Incredible had to do in the film, if he doesn't get them ready for those battles, if he isn't at home talking with them about superhero stuff, if there isn't a moment where he's helping Jack learn how to control the laser beams from his eyes, those skills become useless later. But because he did, the impact on them and the situation that they had to face later was incredible. Pun intended.
I think one of the things that we often don't do is we forget the importance of serving beside our kids. And I think serving beside our kids and with our kids is so important, because then they not only see you serving, but it also gives them the confidence and the ability to go and do it without you later. So I think, you know, as mentors to those young kids, it's so important to be with them and not just have kids serving and doing it together, you know, but it's serving alongside those, I shouldn't say older, more mature people in the congregation, I guess, or the family.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to encourage them, to let them know that we believe in them, in the way God's gifted them, and we believe that they can do important stuff. You know, it's funny. I had this experience yesterday because I had the privilege of going to Kings Island with our youth, and we had, I can't even remember how many kids went.
33 kids.
But I had four of them in the car with me. Well, one of them decided that she wanted to control the radio, and I discovered that this kid could sing. Now, she liked country, which was a stretch for me, but country and hip-hop I listened to all the way to Kings Island and back. But this kid could sing, and I just asked her, why haven't you tried out for the band? And I know somebody else hit her up about working in the band for the fourth and fifth grade. But I think we have, when we see something in a young person, we have to say, hey, why don't we put that into play?
Now, Reed, in New York, you serve in a particular area of your church. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Multiple. Yeah, I serve on the, I lead the drama team, the ministry at the church that I go to. I also serve in other areas. I serve in the, like backstage coordinating and a couple other areas. Sometimes I'll just greet. Just to help out in that way. So a couple different areas. But I would just second what's kind of been said a couple of times, to piggyback off what Mary Jean said, that the serving with your parents, I found that to be very encouraging, and just the encouragement from other people personally, I found that to be very, I mean, there were places I found myself serving at times that without the encouragement of others, I never would have. I think maybe even my first experiences with acting was just a, hey, you want to try this? And without that, I mean, I don't know that I would have ever on my own, you know,
gone that way.
So, I mean, it is maybe just a nudge from someone else, you know, but if you can't let fear stop you, you know, and you can't, you know, you have to be open to those maybe nudges, you know, and willing to serve, I think, have the willingness.
yeah. to serve.
Have you had the opportunity to work with people that were maybe younger than you now? Or maybe have opportunities to like encourage
yes.
someone coming behind
yes.
you.
Yes, so yeah. that's been the great thing. I mean, I started, you know, in like I said, the church I'm at, which is called the Journey Church. I better throw that out there.
A little plug.
Yeah, this is just a little plug. But so I started out just as a member of the drama team, and now I'm leading. So I'm part of the process to audition, which is not that it's not in, like a professional audition. You know, it's very laid back. But yes, so we do. We are part of developing. You know, younger. Talent, whatever, you know. So you are part of you see the growth and you see the development. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and guys, as you're listening today, you know, I hope that as you have opportunity, that you will pay attention to those around you that are coming behind you in some degree or another. To encourage them and to challenge them and to push them to be involved, because the reality is whoever you're looking at is somebody that has been gifted by God to make a difference in the world around them. Every single person. It doesn't matter if you're a person who has been at this for years and years, or you're talking about a child who is just, you know, just learning and just growing, you know, a la Jack. You know, the reality is you're talking about a person who has an infinite ability to make a difference in the world because God has created that into them. And so, focus in on that and take the time to make a difference in the life of somebody coming behind you. Before we get rolling, anybody else have anything else they want to say before we jump off today? Pretty good. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this with us, and we hope that you have a great day. We would love to have your feedback and questions or anything like that. So if you have opportunity, please feel free to email us at info@goodnewsgathering.org, or you can drop a communication card in the bins in the back of the auditorium when you're here on Sunday, and we will do the best that we can to answer that question through the podcast. We are really excited to do this for you. So if you have a chance to feed into the process, we'd love to do that with you. Take care, and you guys have a great day.
Take care, everybody.
Have a good week.